much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
God damn it! We lost! We fucking super lost, man! Tell him, McCluskey. Tell him what time it is.
I don't believe you people.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Well, I woke up to go get me a cold pop. Then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Hot mess.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
And now.
Let's just get to the bad part, because I know you got one. I don't like tension. I got acid reflux. Let's get to the bad part.
Our feature presentation.
Anyway, here's something I played earlier on the show. You might enjoy. I hope you did. It's this guy named,
what's going on? Stop the noise.
I lost the CD. Oh. Here it is. It's on the floor. How'd it get on the floor? Anyway.
I don't know. But God, I love Rodney so much.
That's a good question, though. I mean, to ask your listeners. It's a good question to ask them how a CD got on the floor.
Sure. Why aren't we listening to and reviewing every single Rodney on the Rock Sunday night show? Why is that not an every Monday feature?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to fix that. What? You can't sue us for that. He's on the air.
I don't know.
This is stuff that goes on the air. This is stuff that we're broadcasting.
Right. It's not a secret. We're not hacking into his voicemails. He's putting it on the radio.
I mean, someone will sue us.
How can somebody sue us
for
Lisa,
putting that on the radio again?
Lisa, listen. People make threats all the time. There's nothing there. And Beans right. It needs to be done.
It needs to be done. It's the greatest show on radio.
I'm just glad I went on air, on record.
Yeah, that's true.
Protesting.
I lost my CD. Look, he can't live forever, right, Rodney?
Not the way that sounded.
No.
So I'm saying we need to enjoy and appreciate him while we have him.
I agree.
All right.
Let's make a note. Let's do that, shall we?
Okay.
Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Tuesday. This story is so awesome that it can't be true, unfortunately.
Can I choose to believe anyway?
Yes, I am choosing to believe.
Right.
But you'll see what the fatal flaw in the argument is once I read it to you. But it's great. You know, I'm starting to notice, Florida is the penis of America. We talked about that, how most of the crazy stories come out of Florida.
Sure.
Overseas, Germany seems to be the champion. But I will tell you that Brazil is coming up strong. Brazil has – they've gone to crazy town lately. There have been more and more great stories out of Brazil lately, and that's where this one comes from today. A woman is being sued by her husband for allegedly trying to kill him by putting poison in her vagina.
What?
And then asking him to perform oral sex.
Oh, my God.
She's accused of planting a toxic substance in her genitals before luring her husband to bed. Reports suggest that he was ready and willing and only escaped death because he noticed a strange smell. The curious husband then took his wife to the hospital in San Jose de Rio Preto to find out the cause of the unusual odor. The alleged attempt on his life was exposed when tests on his wife discovered traces of a poisonous substance down below. Now, here's my question for you, and here's my question for Dr. Mo when we have to get him on the phone later this week. Is there such a thing as a poison that would not be toxic to the person who's got it on her skin, but would be toxic to somebody else who puts it in his mouth? Does it seem possible to you guys?
I don't have any idea, but it does seem improbable.
I would think no.
And maybe there's poison that is deadly to you if you ingest it, if you swallow it. Like gasoline, you can put gasoline on your skin.
Right.
It doesn't feel good, but you don't die. But if you drink gasoline, you can die. Maybe it's something like that.
Giddy up.
Thank you, Rodney.
I don't know. I have no answer for that, but it seems unlikely.
Was she a chemist? Is that how she figured this out?
Isn't that the most bizarre way to kill a spouse that you've ever heard of?
Yes. Why don't you just grind up some glass and put it in a cereal like everyone else?
Good.
Like everyone else.
Like everyone else. But, I mean, you have to give her credit for at least you know, it's like the woman last week who, you know, tried to smother her boyfriend with her breasts. At least you're trying to get them out, you know, go out on a high note.
Sure.
At least they think they're enjoying themselves before they turn up dead.
Sure, right? Aren't there tests for poison that they could run no matter where he gets it from?
Right.
That they could run on his blood and figure out why he died?
He's like a healthy man, so they're going to want to investigate.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Again, as is always my complaint, not enough details here. I don't know the age of the people involved or, you know, I'd like some more information on what the substance was, because it seems like somebody in the article should talk to a doctor and say, and ask our question, which is this even possible?
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe we're that people. Maybe you're right. We got to get Dr. Mo on the phone and find out.
We have to ask Dr. Mo,
if our belief is founded or not. But I do believe.
I suspect that this is just the Daily Mirror who is looking for, you know, a way to fill up another column inch.
Oh, it's Daily Mirror? Yeah, that's shaky.
I suspect that it's possible that they made it up. Yeah. But it's an awesome story. And again, I'm with Kevin. I want it to be true.
Not in that it could happen to us, but in that it just is.
That it happened to that dude. Right, exactly.
That dude deserved it. No question. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This could really only go poorly.
That's what you would think normally.
Yeah.
But we do have a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, Brooklyn Decker, on the program.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, we got that.
So, all right. I mean, you know, if we have to do that, we have to do that.
She was Kate Upton before Kate Upton, right?
That's right, yeah. She's going to be on The New Girl.
Oh. Whatever she's going to be on, I'm in.
I agree, and whoever she's replacing, fine with me.
Sure. I hope she's the new Schmidt.
I hope she's the new girl. you were left at the altar. We're going to take your calls.
Fantastic.
Left at the altar, literally standing there on the day, or as close to that as possible, maybe a day before, maybe a week. We'll see how close we can get.
Okay.
Right.
But that seems bad. That seems like a bad.
It does seem like, and we'll talk about this more later, it does seem like if you're going to leave your significant other at the altar, at least make that decision a couple of hours ahead of time before everybody gets to the church and is sitting there waiting for you.
Yeah, that seems bad.
Seems like just call it off at a more convenient time for everybody if you're going to do it anyway.
We also have Joe Newman on the program today.
She is great.
She is on the Joe Schmo Show. She plays the deaf girl. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have Lisa translate for us.
That's right.
Lisa, tell the people that Joe Newman is going to be on the show.
Joe Newman is going to be on your show.
Okay, thank you. we also have the Sound City World Premiere tickets, along with those tickets to that concert with Dave Grohl and everybody you've ever heard of.
Yes. So amazing.
Sounds fantastic. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
So, Ralph, today you are slumming doing radio? You're doing us a favor by stepping in the booth here? What's going on?
I took some time out from my TV gig to come by here and help you kids out on – what's this again, this medium called?
Yes, radio.
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 Radio. Fascinating. Yes, it's quaint, I think. That's what I think it is.
Pretty old-fashioned.
Yeah. But still but using the crystals? Still using the crystals in the sets to get the signal? That's cute.
Having seen us now, though, you can understand why we're not in front of the camera, right?
Well, having seen myself, I can't understand why I'm in front of the camera. However,
so where are you? Where can people see you this morning?
Well, listen to me here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then also, just feet away from this very studio, the lovely and talented, our good friend Allie McKay from KTLA's Morning News is here all morning long, and I'm here with my my castmates from the Joe Schmo Show. They're doing a story about the Joe Schmo Show.
Fantastic. Oh, fantastic.
So they said, do you want to do it? And I said, well, I have a condition. Maybe we should play that little piece of
You guys, we are here at K-Rock Studios because Ralph Garman, of course, big part of the Kevin and Bean Morning Show, he demanded that we come to him, which, wow. He's the only one working now. Very good point, Lorenzo. Yeah,
that's true. I'm the only one with a gig. So I said, all right, I'll do it, but I have to work in the morning. You guys want to come here? So the cast is here and Allie's here, and we're going to be talking about the show on and off throughout their morning broadcast between now and 9:30, I guess, or 10 o'clock when they go off the air. So if you're not listening to us, you can tune over there and see me over there. And stop asking me to show the guns, ladies. It's just they don't have a lens wide enough to get my arms in that shirt.
I don't probably no one's asking to show the guns.
Trust me, the guns ain't there no more, so don't worry about it.
The guns were only there as long as they had to be.
Guns were a temporary fix.
is Allie wearing a silly animal suit like she does?
No,
she dressed up like a sheep or anything?
No, she looks lovely. She's in a sexy black outfit. She's got a little sweater vest on because, you know, she's from L.A., and it's almost below 70 this morning.
Yeah,
so
sure. She's going to be freezing.
If it's cold, yeah.
Well, this is fun. So Channel 5 all morning long, you can see the cast of Joe Schmo. We'll be talking about more of that with some of your cast members coming up later on today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday, 5:55. Ralph's got our first look at the showbiz beat.
Get yourself a Get Well card and send it to Barbara Walters.
Why, what
Star
happened
of The View is in bad, bad shape, suffering from a brutal case of the chicken pox. What could be more embarrassing than to be an old woman with the chicken pox?
That's a childhood thing, right?
She's in her 80s.
Disease. Yes, it's a children's disease. And there she is in the hospital with the chicken pox.
I have to get a vaccine for the chicken pox, too.
What?
My doctor, in fact, doesn't have it. So I have to call around and see who does because I never had it as a kid.
Oh, really? This is one of those things where if you have it once, you're good.
Yeah, right. Kids get it. And
most kids get it.
You build up the antibodies to it and then you don't have to worry about it. But they say, for an adult, it's brutal when you get it. For kids, it's some red spots and it goes away in a couple days. For adults, I believe your orifices start to seal up.
I really got to get on that, don't I?
Yes, you do.
In Lisa's case, that could be life-threatening, so she better get...
So many orifices.
So
that's right.
Could Barbara Walters die from this in her 80s
age?
Getting chicken pox?
Yes. She's in the hospital for it. I mean, she's not like something she can recover with at home. She's got a very high temperature and... they're treating her, and she hopes to feel very, very better soon. That's what she said, so we'll wait and see. What's going on in the world? How is this happening?
What?
The talentless are taking over the entertainment business.
Yeah. That's been happening for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I know, but it... let me explain my frustration. It announced yesterday that the Fox TV station group, this is the Fox affiliates around the country also have a sort of a syndicated programming group so that if you sell a program to them, they will put it on their local affiliates all over the country, the majority of them. Yesterday it was announced that Kris Jenner is getting her own talk show.
Oh,
dear God.
The momager of the Kardashian clan will have her own one-hour daily talk show.
That is going to be bad.
Who looked at her and said, I can't wait to hear what she has to say about things?
No kidding. Somebody who hadn't seen her ever before.
Celebrity guests, fashion, beauty, lifestyle things. It's going to be tested for 6 weeks in the big markets and then rolled out nationwide.
Or not. Depending on how it goes.
My fear is that it'll be a hiccup. She's insufferable now when her kids are famous.
Yep.
What's going to happen when she's got a TV show if it takes off? We're all screwed.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good for anybody.
Paul Giamatti in the news. Love him. He's in that movie I was raving about this weekend, John Dies at the End. Remember talking about that? He's in that. He just got cast in a new gig. This will make Roland very happy. They are casting the villain for the next Amazing Spider-Man movie.
Oh.
One with Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone. He's been cast as the villain in the piece. Very exciting. He plays. Any guesses? Kevin, I know you're a big Spider-Man fan. Any guesses to the villain?
Mr. Freeze?
Good guess. Wrong hero, but good guess. Mm. No, he plays the Rhino.
The Rhino.
The Rhino.
Oh, he's going to be so good in that role.
He's going to be awesome as the Rhino.
I don't know the Rhino.
The Rhino is a guy who wears a giant rhino suit. All right, I know it sounds silly when you describe it.
Seriously, though.
It sounds silly when you describe it.
Yeah.
But it gives him enormous strength and power. It makes him almost indestructible. And what he does is he runs really fast and he can, like, knock down walls and stuff like a rhinoceros would.
That's a terrible, terrible superhero.
What if you're at a bank and the money's inside the vault and you want to get in? How do you get in? Oh, I'm just the rhino. I'll just run and I'll knock the wall in and I'll get the money.
The rhino could go through that thick
vault. That's what I'm talking
about. Vault door?
The rhino.
And what movie is this in, Ralph? I'm sorry. What are we talking about?
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah. Spider-Man. Okay.
Come on.
Wow.
Love the Rhino. Look up the Rhino. You'll enjoy the Rhino.
Paul Giamatti is great in everything he does.
Yes.
Every movie he does, he's fun to watch. So I'm in.
Except for this one.
And here's the thing. I mean, usually in the comics, the Rhino has been drawn as a big, lumbering, sort of massive guy.
Of course.
And then he puts the costume on and makes him even stronger. Giamatti doesn't really strike me as a physically imposing dude. So maybe they'll do some augmentation to the suit or something, give him more of a backstory to explain why he's so strong and powerful.
Game.
But I'm very excited.
Game.
I've heard that he is a real jerk.
He's not. He's a great, great man. I love Paul Giamatti. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. On January the 29th, born today, Adam Lambert from American Idol. He's 31 years old today. He just finished his tour with Queen. He was fronting Queen out there on the road. That's a show I'd like to see.
Good mix.
Yeah, he's got the right voice for it. Heather Graham. How hot and sexy is Heather Graham still at the age of 43 years old?
Sure.
Edward Burns. Ooh, they used to be an item.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. She's the one, Saving Private Ryan, of course. Also director, 45 years old. Nicholas Turturro from NYPD Blue is 51. Tom Selleck is 68 years old today. He's 68, and his mustache is 73. Isn't that weird?
That is strange.
The mustache existed before he did. It's like... Like, there was the mustache, and then it found a host, and it just sort of latched on to Tom Selleck, and it's been
ruined ever since.
That's right. He's 68, and Oprah Winfrey celebrates her 59th birthday.
You said Orca.
I did not. Come on.
I didn't say Orca.
That's crazy. That would be... That Orca's a big whale.
Yeah,
why would I use that name talking about Oprah Winfrey? She's 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 6.
All right, Rodney on the Rock Show.
Hi, Rodney.
24 and 6.
What?
All right, here
6:24.
Morning, finally where I belong, Rodney on the Rock Show.
Listen,
show
Rodney.
K-Rock, that is
great to see you. Thank you for coming in. Let me explain to the kids why you're here this morning, Rodney. We're not doing the Rodney on the Rock Show. It's still Kevin and Bean, but you're going to help us give away some tickets to this.
Find my CD. Where'd my CD go?
Look on the floor. I think it's on the floor. You are going to help us give away some tickets to see this awesome documentary called Sound City. Dave Grohl is the one who did the directing and producing and interviewed all the people in the movie. And it's about a sound studio, a recording studio where bunches of classic albums were made.
Surf City. All right. Surf City. Jan and Dean.
Sound City.
All right.
Sound City is the name. So we're taking calls right now at 1-800-520.
Jan had an accident. He had a bad accident.
Right, but that's not at all relevant to this conversation. We're taking calls for Rodney now at 1-800-520-1067. You can ask questions about any of the artists that Dave Grohl is going to be performing with after you see the movie this coming Thursday night in Hollywood. All right, 1-800-520-1067. It's time to stump Rodney.
Yeah, wig, wham, bam.
All right. Get tickets for Surf City.
Sound City, right. So any questions about Rage Against the Machine or Cheap Trick or Fear or John Fogerty or Stevie Nicks or Foo Fighters, all of those, you feel comfortable answering questions about any of those groups, right?
Spandau Ballet.
They're not involved.
Hey, Rodney.
Devo.
We'll lead. Don't worry about that.
All right.
We'll lead. Let's start with Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany.
Hello.
Stump Rodney.
What was the name of the band Chris Novoselic was in after Nirvana?
Soft Cell.
Was it Soft Cell, Tiffany?
Tainted Love.
Oh, Sweet 76.
Tainted Love.
I think you went way too deep for that one for Rodney. I don't know that he could have gotten Nirvana.
Was it really Sweet 76? I thought it was Sweet 75. Are you sure about that?
Yes.
75, 76, whatever it takes.
All right, Tiffany, you are in the drawing to win tickets for the big night of the movie and the concert. We'll have three winners this time. Who's our next contestant?
Our next contestant is George. Hi, George.
Hello, George.
George Thorogood.
Stump Rodney. That's not. Let him ask the question first.
What did I win?
Hold on a second.
Did I win?
Let George ask a question.
All right.
What was the name of the band that Dave Grohl drummed for before Foo Fighters?
All right. Now that's a slam dunk. Rodney?
Kid Creel and the Coconuts.
Is it Kid Creel and the Coconuts, George?
What'd I win?
No, it is not. Nirvana.
Boomtown Rats.
Nirvana. Yeah.
Rodney, Nirvana. One of the most famous bands in history. We're talking about Dave Grohl. How did you not know that?
Not only that, I mentioned it 30 seconds before we went to George.
Right. Echo and the Bunnymen?
Oh, my God. There's no question now. Wait till the next question.
All right. Level 42.
All right. Let's go to Jose. Hi, Jose.
Yes. Good morning, Rodney.
Oh, good morning.
Brad Wilkes, what band was the end after Rage Against the Machine dismembered?
Oh, there you go. There's a good question. Very popular K-Rock artist, Rodney.
Was Rage Against the Machine dismembered?
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
He may have been disbanded. He may have met Wilk, not Wilkes. There's a lot of questions I've got about this guy.
Jose Shaky. All right, Rodney.
Yeah, what's the question?
Brad Wilk played in what band after Rage Against the Machine?
Kraftwerk.
Was it Kraftwerk, Jose?
Close. No cigar. Audioslave, sir.
Audioslave.
Come on, Rodney. Although I do admire and enjoy your craft work. I just want to say that.
Autobahn.
All right. So Jose is in the drawing. So far, we're going to have three winners at the end of this. We've got time for a couple more questions.
All right.
Sure. Let's go to JD. Hi.
Hey, party people. What's up, Lisa?
Stump Rodney.
Hello.
All right. What is Dave Grohl's middle name?
Dave Grohl's middle name? Terrence Trent D'Arby.
No. Wait, you think all three of those names are his middle name?
Terrence.
How does that make sense?
Terrence.
Very, very close.
Trent?
Eric.
Eric. Eric is what we're looking for. None of those are right, Rodney.
Eric Carmen?
Yes. Okay. Again, it's just Eric. It's just one middle
Thomas
name like
Dolby.
Most people have.
Thomas Dolby.
Why would you say that? What does that have to do with anything?
Little Stevie Forbert.
We're playing the Stump Rodney here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Questions about Stevie Nicks, John Fogerty, Rick Springfield, Rage Against
All
the
right,
Cheap
Rick
Trick.
Springfield, I know him.
All right, see, okay, there you go. Well, right. Maybe we'll have a question. Let's just take a couple more calls. Who's next?
Someone asked me a Rick Springfield question.
All right, let's go to Adrian. Hi, Adrian.
Hey, how's it going? Top of the morning.
Top of the morning. Stump Rodney.
All right. What character did Dave Grohl play in The Pick of Destiny?
The Tenacious D movie.
Oh, there you go. Great question. Rodney, do you know that? Remember Dave Grohl? Very popular movie, very popular role.
Rick Springfield.
Do you think Dave Grohl played Rick Springfield in the movie?
All right. What did I win?
You didn't win anything. Adrian, is that correct?
Surf City?
It was the devil.
Of course,
it
was the devil.
I don't like the devil. That's bad rap.
Okay. Right, but it was in the movie, though.
It's scary.
Let's get a gimme. Let's just
devils are scary.
Let's try and get a gimme. Let's go to Laura.
All right.
Hi, Laura.
Good morning.
Hi. What's your question to Stump Rodney?
What instrument did Dave Grohl play in Nirvana?
You have to know this one, Rodney. Think hard before you answer. Don't just spew out whatever you're thinking of. Okay.
I'm thinking.
All right. Picture all the times you saw Nirvana on TV.
Right. Dave Grohl.
And then he changed instruments when he came to Foo Fighters.
Right.
When he created that.
Right.
Because he
That's
was no longer.
Godhead. He plays more than one instrument.
But he was no longer playing the
99 Luftballons. Did he play the balloons?
Laura, did he play the balloons?
No, close. The drums.
The drums.
All right. What did I win?
No one you didn't
has
win
ever
I'm
played the
Surf
balloons.
City. All right.
No, it's not Surf City.
Surf
All right.
City,
Lisa May. We need three winners. Who's going to the Sound City movie and concert this Thursday night on us at K-Rock?
Billy Ocean.
Our winners are Adrian.
Robert Palmer.
Jose.
Hold on. Adrian, congratulations. You're going?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Jose.
Jose. All right. Jose, congratulations. You're going.
And the Blow Monkeys.
Jose and the Blow Monkeys? That's a very prominent band.
And Laura.
I just start the music over again. Sorry. And Laura.
Buster Poindexter.
Laura gets into this concert by asking what instrument Dave Grohl played in Nirvana.
She did.
Nicely done. Thanks for playing the game, Laura.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam pay.
Actress and model Brooklyn Decker on the program today. Also, your stories of being left at the altar. And we'll talk all about Joe Schmo with some of the cast members in the next hour. By the way, we're also hooking you up with a chance to go to Amsterdam, which is like in Europe and some junk, to see Mumford & Sons. It's destination number 4 of the K-Rock World Tour 2013 at 9:10 this morning. We'll give away Mumford's latest album called Babel, and you'll get on the standby boarding list. We'll do that all throughout the week here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Oh, my goodness. Stop talking about things that don't matter.
Roland?
Yes, Roland.
Did we have you scheduled?
Am I ever scheduled?
Well, no, but...
Good question.
I am like the wind. I just show up where I'm needed and blow.
I'm sorry?
So does Lisa. Remarkable. We were talking about sending people to Europe, though, for free. Yeah. I think that's worth talking
I'm
about.
I'm talking about sending people into the final frontier.
Is there something going on with Star Trek that I don't know about?
Space, the final frontier.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Space.
These are the voyages of the starship Roland.
I've not heard of that one.
My lifelong mission, to go where no man has gone before.
You know, Iran is sending that monkey into space. Maybe you can hitch a ride with them.
What the hell?
What? It's in the news. It's in the news a lot this week. They're
sending
a chimpanzee.
In the news this week that you guys aren't talking about?
What?
J.J. Abrams, the genius, is taking over Star Wars.
Right. We made mention of that when it was
official.
We did.
Well, that's not enough. You have to talk about it all day long.
Well,
what are we
supposed
have that much to say? It's not coming out till 2015.
The greatest science fiction mind of our times is taking over the Star Wars legacy.
Right. It's great, and we're excited about it. But it's years away.
And
what?
He also has taken over the Star Trek legacy.
That's correct, both.
Yes, he's got the Star Trek movie coming out in May, I think.
Yes, That's a second Star Trek movie. And then a seventh Star Wars movie.
Right.
So that
right.
means the third Star Trek movie and the eighth Star Wars movie. A mashup between the two.
Want both worlds to...
I want Star Trek Wars Into Darkness against the Phantom Menace.
My head is going to explode.
Isn't Star Trek set in the future and Star Wars is set in the past?
Yes. Have you ever heard of a little thing called time travel?
Sure, I have, but... It seems complicated.
Here's
why would you want to...
I'm writing a script for JJ as we speak.
Oh, great. That's all right. Great news.
The Enterprise goes back into time.
Okay.
And then they run into a planet.
Uh-huh. Okay, I like it. I like where you're going.
Let's call it Tatooine.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And on that planet, they run into a gentleman. Let's call him Luke Skywalker. Yes, the Force is strong with that one.
Oh, you have sound effects.
You have your own sound effects at home in the basement?
My entire basement is built to look like the Starship Enterprise.
Oh, I see. I guess I didn't realize that.
So I have everything at my fingertips.
Okay, now I would think that sci-fi geeks would be really upset if they tried to mash those two together because they love it. Well, I would guess they would be upset because there's two strong movie franchises.
Yes, and together they will take over the world if they combine their forces.
Oh, I see.
Just imagine Darth Vader talking to Mr. Spock. Spock, I am your father. I find that highly illogical. No match for the dark side of the Force.
But didn't we meet?
I'll just give you a pinch on your neck, Mr. Vader. How do you like that? Ah, no!
I actually might want to see this. This is starting to sound pretty good.
Damn it, Jim. I'm a doctor, not a Jedi.
What's more powerful, a lightsaber or a phaser? Have you thought about that in your story?
Well, a lightsaber, think about it. You have to sort of be right next to the guy to cut him up.
Right.
A phaser,
right.
You can shoot from across a room and get killed.
Oh, good point.
Okay,
but,
all right.
But
what?
But,
no, one's interrupting you.
Don't yell.
But
quit yelling at us.
You can deflect a phaser blast with the lightsaber if you use the Force.
Oh wow. Okay.
But what? The power of a phaser, especially if it's set to kill, will actually disconnect the power source of the lightsaber, rendering it useless.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, okay. You could. Shut up, Omar.
Wait, you have Omar is with you?
There's a guy named Omar here who's putting in some new computers in my Enterprise set.
I got you. All right.
I see. Okay. But, all right,
you can use the power of the Force with your mind and make that phaser fly across the room and out of the hand of the person wielding it.
That's true. You can pull it to yourself, even.
Yes!
All right. Okay. See, I'm getting it.
The possibilities are endless.
Okay.
Think of the two franchises melded together. And then you can also bring in Jean-Luc Picard. Make it so, number one. And then,
I don't know that
you
need all of that.
And then Jar Jar Binks will be like, oh, Misa no like her when you go with your finger in Misa face.
Okay, maybe less than the Jar Jar Binks, but keep working on that script. I like what you got so far, Roland.
Misa no like you guys.
Tuesdays are very special here in America because on Spike TV at 10 o'clock, there's a little program called Joe Schmo that airs. Ralph Garman, we're going to be bringing in one of your co-stars, maybe two of your co-stars coming in after the top of the hour, right?
Yeah, we're going to bring in Kylie, the deaf girl, and her interpreter, Stan.
That's going to be very awkward doing an interview with a deaf girl on the radio, but we're going to give it a shot.
She's not really.
Just a little bit nervous.
Not really deaf.
It's going to waste a lot of time, you know, with the translation and everything.
I've seen the show.
She's definitely
deaf. It's a fake show, yes. What?
Except when she accidentally hears things.
That's right.
She's not quite so deaf. We'll find out what that's all about coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
Heard you guys talking to Roland about Star Wars and Star Trek.
Worst idea ever, right?
Yeah, it's not a good idea.
Okay, good.
But Disney is focusing on the next Star Wars movie, so much so that they apparently have decided not to roll out 3D versions of episodes 2 and 3. That was the plan, because they did the first one.
Oh.
They're going to convert episode 2, Attack of the Clones, and episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, and re-release them as 3D projects. Now, apparently, that plan has been canned, because they want to spend 100% of their efforts focusing on episode 7 instead. Yeah, it's going to be a huge undertaking, and I think they want to get it out by 2015. So, if they marshal all their forces, they can probably get that done. More sci-fi news coming from Disney. There's a new George Clooney project in the works. It was originally called 1952, which was said to reference a file box named 1952, labeled 1952, which was found in Walt Disney's development lab after his death.
Oh.
That held some sort of secrets. Insiders say it's going to be a science fiction slash alien film like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. They've changed the name of the movie to Tomorrowland, which is even more confusing now because that's one of the parts of Disneyland.
Huh. Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with that part of the park. Now I'm really confused. George Clooney, what are you doing to me? You know what you can do to make it up to me, George? Pay my restaurant bill.
Why? Does he do that?
Didn't hear the story? He's currently in Germany filming a movie called The Monuments Men. And he was sitting in a trendy restaurant in Berlin. And there was a guy sitting next to him. And he goes to pay his check. And the waiter says, oh, no, I'm sorry. Mr. Clooney has already paid for your meal.
Did he know him?
Nope.
Did they have an interaction?
Nope.
Nothing?
Huh. Here's what the waiter was told. Clooney, when he and his friends were done dining, was concerned that they had been too loud. They were laughing and talking and having a good time, and he felt guilty. He thought maybe he had disturbed this man's meal because he was at the table next to them.
Huh. Oh, my gosh.
And he felt so concerned about it, he said, let me just pick up his check in case we were too loud. We were not good guests next to him.
Does Clooney ever not do the best possible thing ever?
No, he doesn't. He's the best
He's
person.
He's unbelievable.
He's the best, and you were the worst. That's the moral of that story.
I don't know that I have anything to do with it.
No, you're the worst, and he's the best. That's what I'm trying to get across. You are the worst person. George Clooney is the best person.
It's not like he was making noise, and the guy leaned over and said, hey, cool it, keep it down, you're interrupting my meal, or anything like that. Nothing.
The guy, in fact, said, that's not true at all. He told a newspaper interview to him. He said, they behaved in a very cultivated manner. I was stunned that they paid the check and that they thought they were disturbing me. They were fine.
Huh.
But Clooney was concerned. Maybe they were a little bit too loud, so he picked up the tab. A $134.66 tab.
Amazing.
$134 to Clooney. He puts that in his loafers to line the inside of his shoes so they don't sweat. Just pulled a couple soggy hundreds out of his loafer and just gave it to the waiter.
But that's not the point, that he can afford it. The point is that that's how thoughtful he is.
And he can afford it. That's the other point.
Yeah, both.
He can afford to be generous because, you know.
USA! 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 USA!
He didn't give the guy a kidney or anything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. No one would.
Nobody would do that. And this is nothing to do with show business, but I must tell the story. This is the greatest thing I've ever heard. And I want to buy the movie rights.
Okay.
Woman in Brazil has been charged with trying to kill her husband. Attempted murder on her husband. You know how she did it? Very creative. Very creative young lady.
A knife?
Nope. Poison. But not just any poison.
Poison in the food?
Nope. Poison someplace else.
Drink?
Nope. She slathered poison all over her lady parts.
Yay!
And then invited her husband
down
to come and dine.
Oh, dear God.
She was trying to poison her husband via oral sex. Man survived the experience but wound up in the hospital.
Seems a little risky, doesn't it?
Woman was busted after a lab tested, turned up traces of the poison in his system. You know where.
They smells like donkey ass.
What do you think you were doing? How'd you get so poisoned? What was going on just before you got sick? He's like, let me think. Let's say I had some iced tea.
What else?
Wait a minute! So now she's been picked up by the cops.
Who's hungry?
Yeah. Death by this.
It's a good thing you don't see that.
My vagina's so itchy.
All right, okay.
So itchy.
Let's not get too specific.
Freaking itchy.
Well, you shouldn't have put that poison on it then.
Yeah,
it
I would think that
so
would
itchy.
Be a little scary.
Well,
because how do you know how it's going to react?
Maybe
with
she,
things.
Maybe she picked up Vagina Poisoning for Dummies. You can get that Barnes & Noble. Maybe
I hadn't
she picked
seen
up that.
That
book.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Lambert, American Idol fame, is 31 years old. Heather Graham of The Hangover and Boogie Nights is 43. Edward Burns, Saving Private Ryan and other films, is 45 years old.
Alex Cross, by the way.
Yeah, I forgot he was an Alex Cross. I don't see that here on his IMDb page.
Isn't that
I wonder
interesting?
Why
they don't mention that.
He struck that one.
Huh.
Nicholas Turturro from NYPD Blue is 51, Oprah Winfrey 59, and Tom...
Diets do not work.
Well, not for you, they don't. And Tom Selleck is 68 years old today. Oh, I love the Blue Blads. Oh, I love the Blah Bludes.
He's the only guy that loves the Blah Bludes, isn't he?
He's the only guy watching Blah Bludes on the staff, as far as I know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Let's talk about a little TV show called Joe Schmo.
In a reality TV world filled with cheaters, scoundrels, and jerks, is there anyone left who will play fair? We searched America, and we think we've found the answer. Meet Jace Rogan.
Pick me, Bounty Project.
Over the next 10 weeks, Jace will compete in a cutthroat reality show called The Full Bounty. He could win $100,000 and the chance to become America's next great bounty hunter. There's just one catch. It's all fake.
What?
Oh, no!
What? Lisa, welcome our guest, Joe Newman, to the studio, please.
Hello, thank you for coming. Thank you for having me.
Luckily, Joe reads lips, so she's able to see what Lisa's saying.
I feel like I should yell, "Hi, Carly!" But yelling doesn't, in fact, work with deaf people.
No,
so actress Joe Newman is here, and actor Fred Cross, are you an actor who plays an interpreter, or are you really a deaf interpreter?
I am an actor who plays an interpreter.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Fred's a very funny and talented guy, but he does also happen to know American Sign Language.
For reals.
Very,
for reals. Very convenient. Yeah. And, of course, these folks are in studio because they are your co-stars, co-conspirators, should I say, pulling the wool over America's eyes on Spike TV's Joe Schmo, which airs again tonight at 10.
Yes.
Welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Joe, why did you try and sabotage this show? What was your thinking at the time?
You know, you got to do what you got to do. You grow up, you know, as Fred knows, as a redhead, and you got a bone to pick with the world.
She's an angry ginger.
I have a lot to prove. I'm 5'4". My feet aren't touching the ground here.
Oh,
you know?
That's sad. Really on that chair? Really?
But truth be told, Joe had the hardest gig in the house because she did have to pretend like she couldn't hear anything while, of course, she is a hearing actress. So that's a difficult thing to do for an hour, let alone to live in a house with the guy and make him believe it around the clock.
Also, with nine of the funniest people I've ever met standing behind me, cracking every joke they can think of. No, not until Fred tells me what they're saying. Yeah.
That's right.
No, and they were torturing you. They would try to crack you up.
Torturing me. Michael Weaver, probably one of the funniest people I've ever met. At day five, I said, "Michael, give me a break. I can't do that."
No, he plays Randy the a-hole.
It must have been their goal. I mean, it would be, if I'm on the cast, my goal is to crack you up.
Yeah.
Although you don't want to ruin it for everybody, but you did that by yourself while you were doing push-ups. That was crazy.
Well, you get stir crazy. You're in there at the house, you know, for a couple of weeks, and you just get tired, and you want to start screwing around because just to keep
it fresh.
Of course.
So your focus drifts a little bit sometimes.
Chase, I'm not the most professional, but...
And Chase, the only contestant that thinks this is real, says that the push-ups you're doing look hard. And you say, "Yeah, I know they're difficult."
Well, they were.
Did you hear me?
The subtitle says unintelligible grunt.
What was going through your mind at that moment? You're only at episode three now? That was only the
fourth.
Fourth is tonight or last week?
Tonight's five.
Tonight is five.
Oh, okay. So it was the fourth week.
Yeah, I died a little bit inside. Like part of my soul doesn't exist anymore because of that moment. But that was a pretty sick example of pretty amazing teamwork. Everybody just came in, steamrolled the guy. Yeah. That was it. That moment didn't happen.
He sort of forgot
about
it.
Look over here. Yeah.
Once our sphincters unclenched, we all jumped into action.
Yeah.
Now, the remarkable thing about Joe Schmo, and Ralph is keen to point out that the New York Times said it was what, Ralph? What was their quote?
Well, they called it a classic. I mean, if you believe the New York Times, that rag, they did say it was a classic.
The remarkable thing about it is they've already done it twice before where they've taken an entire season through completion without anybody catching on that what they were doing was a gag.
Right.
But then they really upped the ante with your character, Joe, though. I mean, the fact that they even attempted to do a deaf person in the house and how many different times that could potentially screw up. I mean, that's remarkable. What was it like for you realizing once you got the gig, how much responsibility was on your shoulders?
I was totally freaked out, but it was probably and will probably be one of the greatest opportunities of my entire improv career acting life. I mean, I've been doing this character for a couple of years, mostly as a cheap bar joke. And to be able, I mean, that sounded no, but really, I mean, it's a character I've been doing and playing with and working on. And to be able to have the freedom to play it for a couple of weeks in this kind of, you know, circus fabulous environment was so much fun.
fun.
How often do you get to play a deaf ventriloquist, really?
No.
When
it's true.
About it. Three, four times in your career.
Yeah, exactly. That, now, that old hackney character again.
You scour breakdowns. And
let me ask you this, Fred. How much do you guys get to know the other actors as their real person? Or do you constantly just think of them as the characters just so that you don't break the wall?
Well, they had purposefully, the producers and showrunners had told us not to. We didn't know each other's real name until we got voted off the show.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because there may be a slip. And, you know, I couldn't think of her as Joe. She had to be Carly. And so we didn't even know each other's names for the most part. We knew a little bit of each other's backgrounds as far as we'd seen each other in the industry and the improv world. But, yeah, it wasn't until we left that we actually got to know the people that we'd been working with for a couple of weeks.
That really makes sense because, I mean, I could see how, you know, you and Ralph might be, you know, off away from the Joe Schmo, and you'd be talking to him like, hey, what's going on at K-Rock these days? Hey, how's the show going? Stuff like that. But you just can't have any conversation like that in case anyone overhears, I guess.
Well, I also don't have a lot of respect for Ralph, so.
That's evident. That
he wouldn't
evident.
Ask that question.
That was evident on the set every day, actually. No, but you never know where Chase is going to be in the house, so you can't afford to drop your guard and pretend to be. Or be your true self. You have to keep in character.
Right. At the end of the season, is Chase going to kill himself?
Well, that's the big finale, isn't it? You have to tune in before the lawsuits start dropping. I think you should watch the show because it'll be. I promise the ending, regardless of whether he knows or not, will be very entertaining.
And tonight is a fantastic episode.
It is a funny one.
Anything you want to tease us about for tonight?
Tonight we torture Chase. You know, because the whole premise is he's going to be trained to be a bounty hunter, and I play this world famous bounty hunter that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah,
and
highly recognizable.
Yeah, highly recognizable bounty hunter.
He buys it all the way, though.
He does. God bless him.
Every single episode I've seen, he's in awe of you.
So I'm trying to teach the contestants this week how to get inside the criminal mind. And so we shackle them to a real-life convict for the course of a day. So they have the ankle shackles, and they have to travel around in pairs with a live convict throughout the rest of the day. Chase, unfortunately, just by sheer luck of the draw, ends up one-on-one with a convict.
Oh, really?
Named Peanut. Who was constantly requesting photos of Chase's wife. If he could send them to the prison, he would appreciate that.
Phenomenal actor. So funny. But this episode is absolutely, hands down, the hardest moment to not laugh in for us.
For you especially.
I come close to losing it, but for everybody.
It's funny because you see, like, when you're in the van and Ralph's going over to do the real skip and you see Chase is in the front and everyone in the back's laughing.
Yeah, the bastards.
Because they can, you know, they can get away with it at least at that moment.
Yeah, and I'm in the front seat and he's got his eyes on me. And I tell him, if you saw last week's episode, I tell everybody, you know, when you respond to me when we're on a mission, you have to say, copy that.
Right.
And I say, you got it. Everyone says, yeah, copy that in unison. And then you hear Joe about 30 seconds later go, coming in. That was the only time, one of the few times during the show where I almost just had to drop my head and just do that in church laughing shoulder shake. So.
But you know what? You almost could have gotten away with it because it was probably funny to Chase as well.
He was very respectful to me.
Was he?
He was very, very respectful when he...
Does that make you feel like an a-hole now?
No, is there something wrong? You know, he would take the time to look me right in the eye and move his lips in a way that he felt would help me understand better.
Really,
and
just exaggerated
a little bit. He's such a nice guy.
He's awesome. He's the best.
I mean, that's why the show is so great. I think it all hinges on who you pick.
Yeah.
And he seems perfect.
People have to root for him. You have to like him and want him to do well. And the more he does the right thing, when we put him in scenarios where he could go one way or the other, the more you like him and the more you want to watch his journey through this ridiculous
And the more I think he might actually win a show like that if he were on one.
We've always said he's the most competitive guy we've ever seen.
And after a few days working with him, you wanted to give him money. I mean, he's a great guy.
Did you?
Well, I wanted the producers to give him money. I didn't.
There you go. The casting is great, obviously, on Joe Schmoy, and that's the magic of
Except
it. Joe
Newman
is here. Well, yeah. Joe Newman is here. Fred Cross is here. They are castmates with Ralph Garman on Spike TV's Joe Schmoy with another episode tonight at 10. By the way, when are you guys going to be on the TV for folks who want to tune in and see you on Channel 5 this morning?
All morning long. I think you guys are coming up next in the next hour,
right? I think
right?
so, yeah.
Be on Channel 5 with Ally McKay, our good buddy. And I was on this morning, and they had Mike Weaver, who plays Randy, and Lorenzo Lamas did a segment a little while ago. So we'll be on all morning long.
Fantastic. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back in a few minutes. Okay, Carly? Can you hang on?
Yeah, thank you.
We have Brooklyn Decker on the program later on today, by the way.
Whatever.
If you're into that sort of thing. Yeah. Also, your stories of being left at the altar coming up. Right now, though, we're talking Joe Schmo. It's Tuesday. That means tonight at 10, it's another all-new episode on the Spike Channel. Fred Cross, actor who plays the sign language interpreter on the show, in with us, along with Joe Newman, who plays Carly, the deaf girl, who you perhaps best know as Attractive Woman in Bar from Gossip Girl back in 2008.
Some of her best work, really.
She was terrific as Attractive Woman in Bar.
Yeah.
I want to know... From you guys. You guys did not know Ralph Garman until you started doing this this edition.
Well, they knew of me. They just didn't know me. Well, I
mean, let Bean ask a question.
Who doesn't know of me?
You don't mind. So
I was just wondering, though.
because of the character that he's playing, this this bounty hunter who's apparently in love with the sound of his own voice and his own guns, did you think for reals that he was a dick when you were working with him all the time you guys were making the show?
What a loaded question.
No, that's not loaded.
No.
It wasn't until working with him for at least 2 days that I realized what a dick Ralph was.
Then you went.
Yeah.
You gave him the benefit of the doubt for the first little bit.
I always do. Yeah.
But such a multidimensional dick. I mean, on so many levels of this dick.
Yeah. Explain that.
It's like a 4D dick that goes
girth
through.
And length.
No, because we were talking about earlier you had to stay in character all the time so that there wasn't any screw up. So Ralph kind of had to be that super, hyper macho guy all the time. And I would imagine that even though you knew he was playing a character, you didn't know the real Ralph, so you had nothing to compare it to.
He was intimidating. I mean, and as Jake Montrose, he's a very intimidating character. And, playing into the character and making sure everything's believable, you got to kind of own that and believe
it. But, every morning we would have team meetings where we would get together and talk about the events of the day.
And you were in character as well then?
And I was not in character then. I was just, we were just all actors then. We would put the pieces together and then we'd go on into the house and then we'd have to turn it on.
Here's a clip from episode one of Ralph hosting the show.
Welcome to the Full Bounty. My name's Jake Montrose, owner and operator. Montrose Bail Bonds and Fugitive Recovery Service. That means I'm a bounty hunter. You're all here because you want to be a bounty hunter. Fair enough. But as I look at your smiling faces, I can't help but think, why the f*** are you smiling?
Yeah, that's the Ralph we know, I'll tell you that. That's the Ralph we see every morning at 5:30
a.m. He said that line every day for the rest of the last 10 years. And just that, after that moment, I noticed that Fred is standing next to me signing to Carly what I'm saying. And I was like, I was told she could read lips. Get the F back in line.
And then your character wife says, I'd like to say something. You're like, no.
Yeah. Lovely Amanda Landry, who plays my long-suffering wife, Wanda.
She's great.
She's a sweetheart, but she's I'm mean to her in the show. Yeah.
What kind of feedback do you guys get in social media and in interviews and you, just even on the street? What do people say about you to you about Joe Schmo?
People want me to win.
They do.
I don't think they understand the show, really.
My Twitter followers want Carly to win, which is awesome because, I'm not particularly athletic, so I haven't won very much.
You're not athletic. You're a yoga instructor and a triathlete.
Right.
All that BS.
Well, I just put that on my
website.
Is that
all lies? I put all those on my resume, too.
More lies.
Right. Listen, the kids have to leave because I got to run immediately down the hall to get back on Channel 5, so we need to let them go. But thank you, Fred. Thank you, Joe. Spike TV tonight at 10, another all-new episode of this show that we love so much, Joe Schmo. Hey, thanks, Ralph. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you guys, too. I'm a big fan of that.
Quick reminder that tickets to the 2013 Coachella Music and Arts Festival in India go on sale this morning, 10 o'clock. If you want to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Blur and Stone Roses and about 120 other bands, as you know, the shows are going to be in April. Camping information, parking, shuttle passes, travel package, everything that's available. You can get all those details at krock.com. But this morning at 10 o'clock is when tickets go on sale for Coachella 2013.
You know, it can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing to tell people that you work for the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, I do know that.
It really depends on if they're fans or not. If they're not fans, usually it's not just that they haven't heard of you, but they hate you. On the positive side, if they've heard you and they like you, they're pleasant.
Okay, where's all this coming from? What happened?
Jimmy Kimmel got a star on the Walk of Fame. Last Friday morning. And he invited us, so I, being a supportive friend, went. Mm-hmm. Bean, Bean. So I'm there.
It was 1,000 miles away. It was a long way to go for 30 minutes on a sidewalk.
How many times is Jimmy going to get a star on the Walk of Fame?
This is probably the only time.
Yeah. So anyway, I get there late because I'm me, and I'm wearing my shorts because I came from work. And everybody's dressed up. They all have suits and ties, and it's a formal thing.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Right. And there were 100 photographers stacked from the floor to the ceiling, and they were all taking pictures like it was Lindsay Lohan. It was the weirdest thing because to us, he's just Jimmy Kimmel.
He's Jimmy, yeah.
So Jimmy says, is Kevin here? And I said, yeah, I'm in the back. And he says, come on up, I want to get a picture. So I walk up and I push my way past a couple of people as nicely as I can. Excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. And one person says to a friend of theirs, too loud for me to ignore. Because in a perfect world, I would just ignore this. That's my nemesis.
What?
You heard somebody in the crowd say, that's my nemesis, as you walked by them to get your photo taken.
Not in the crowd, but in the crowd, but right next to me that I was having to say, excuse me, please, as I walked
Interesting.
Past.
Interesting.
My okay. nemesis.
And too loud for me to ignore.
Do you think he or she said it so that you would hear it?
I can't imagine he or she didn't.
Okay. Because well, you would know whether it's a he or she. I don't.
I do, too, but I don't want to give it away. I don't want to get anyone in trouble. But anyway, okay. So she says nemesis. Now, of course, me being me, I'm trying to what's nemesis? What is that?
That's an enemy?
Is that good?
Is that just
bad?
An enemy or what? It's a lifelong enemy? What's a nemesis mean?
Or is it a crush? Is it possible that she loves me? What does nemesis mean? I'm not familiar.
Describe what it means, though. It is. It's the ultimate, like, arch rival,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's your enemy, basically.
So I'm thinking to myself, who would consider me their ultimate enemy? This is so bizarre. But it was really bugging me. So I go up, I get my picture taken with Jimmy, and then other people go up to get their picture taken with me, and I walked over to this person, and I said,
This is bold, by the way, that Kevin walked up to this person rather than just ignore it, because a lot of times people would not want that confrontation if somebody was smack-talking them. You just ignore it and move on.
Right, but most of the time, like, you understand what they're talking about, or they do it right after you do something where you know you're kind of being a dick, right. So you let it go, whatever. I had no idea what she was talking about, but why would he or she consider me a nemesis?
Okay.
So I walked up to this person and I said, couldn't help but overhear.
Since you said it so loud.
You said, first I wanted to make sure he or she was talking to me. All right, it's a she. God damn it.
You've said that like four times.
So, first I wanted to make sure she was talking about me. Mm-hmm. Because obviously it was a crowded place, could have been anybody. So I said, Were you talking about me a second ago? And that's another awkward question, because if they're not, then you go, oh, sorry. She was.
She said yes.
Yeah.
Did she look embarrassed?
Oh, no.
Really?
She looked like if I was there another 5 seconds, it was a rear naked chokehold for me.
What?
Dude, it's on.
Yeah, it was on, and I didn't know why. So then I said, wow, this is fascinating, man. And I'm sorry to say this, but I'm not sure who you are, and I don't know what I did to offend you. Would you mind filling me in? Because I'm a relatively fun-natured guy. If I say something and I understand people are offended, most of the time I feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not being, you know what I mean?
Right.
How dare you?
You clean up Bean's messes.
Right. So I wanted to apologize, at least find out what it was about. So she says, you guys were talking bad about us. And I said, us. Give me more specifics. And she said, you guys said these words. And then she quoted something. And Bean, you're going to have to help me place it because I think it was 12 or 13 years ago.
No.
Oh, my God. This person's been carrying around a death wish on you for over a decade?
She quoted us saying, you guys said, and of course, that always means Bean.
Yes.
How dare you?
You guys said that somebody should bitch slap Johnny Grant.
Oh, did she work for him?
So I thought,
oh, does she work for him?
Mm-hmm.
Except Johnny Grant, of course, was the former honorary mayor of Hollywood, the guy who used to be kind of the front man for the Hollywood Walk of Fame for the star ceremonies.
Now, I remember having some kind of feud and making fun of them.
Well, we used to make fun of
some
of the stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame because they weren't stars.
They were just buying a star.
Right,
yeah,
no,
basically.
So, but I didn't know where, and I remember that we had made fun of him, but I didn't remember what for. But this quote, which she gave me verbatim, I imagined it was correct.
Uh-huh.
She remembered
sure.
it 12 years later. So I said, that doesn't surprise me that we would say something like that. Usually we do, but it's not meant with malice. It's not meant to really hurt anyone's feelings. And you know, the whole time I was thinking, what was it we were making fun of him about? I can't remember what we were making fun of.
I think it might have been when Mark and Brian got a star.
It was not. I went up to Jimmy later and I asked him,
mm-hmm.
and he said it was.
Because he would have worked on the show then at that
yes,
time.
It was when Jimmy was working on the Kevin and Bean show. So
okay.
How many years ago was that? 12?
Like 12 or 13 years. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So he says, no, it was when Ryan Seacrest was getting his star.
Oh.
Okay.
But it wasn't for American Idol. And he didn't have a syndicated show yet.
He was just a local radio host.
Local radio host.
Our complaint was that tourists would come from all over the world to walk down the street in Hollywood, and they'd go, who the hell is this guy?
And I think it diminishes the walk of fame.
Yeah,
every time you come across somebody where you go, who the hell, then it's not really as impressive.
Yeah, the walk of fame should be George Clooney and Jimmy Kimmel and, you know, people like that folks around the world know because they're celebrities.
At least nationally.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now,
by now, I would say Ryan deserves a star.
He deserves a star now. He didn't back then.
He's done
this was pre-American Idol.
Yes.
Right.
Well, I think it was right at the beginning of American Idol, but they weren't giving it to him for TV. It was for radio. And so we were shocked. We were trying to get him to take it back and all this stuff. And we had apparently said that specifically. And she remembered that to this day, Bean.
This
day.
Well, Jimmy was on the show then, too.
Yeah, why isn't
he
her nemesis?
I don't know.
I think it's just if Bean was there, it would have been the same response. Because the Kevin and Bean show is the Kevin and Bean show. We all get blamed for something other people say.
Who was this lady who has hated you for 12 years?
She was in the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce.
No kidding.
And I don't have any further a description of who she was except for that. Right. And I said, look, we've made fun of so many people through the years. There's no way we meant it with malice or anything else. We weren't serious.
Did anyone bitch slap you?
You have to know that.
You're good.
Not her, him. Him, Johnny Grant. She was standing up for him.
Did anyone bitch slap him?
No, and they should have. But now another 12 years.
You're not going to win with this lady.
My suggestion is...
It might be best if you just let it go. Okay.
It just started to smell so much better in here. What happened? What's different?
Allie McKay.
Allie McKay from Channel 5, KTLA.
Smells like cotton candy and sunshine.
Yeah.
Hi, Allie.
And
how are you, dear?
Sauteed okra.
Little okra.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Allie is in the building because she is doing cutaways on the Channel 5 morning show all day long today with the cast of Joe Schmo in the other room. But we invited her she stopped by to say hi. We insisted that she sit down and join us for the showbiz beat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's true.
Because she's lovely and talented and could not be nicer. And she's been here all morning, and it's just been better than any morning we've ever had here.
Can you come back tomorrow?
Yeah, can you come back tomorrow?
Planning on it after the way those segments went. might be fired.
You're gonna be out of a job? Yeah.
The anchors back at Channel 5 are like, what? Who cares about this damn show? Why are you so obsessed about it?
Really?
Yeah.
Can you do news?
News?
Yeah.
Never have.
Good enough.
How about traffic?
That'll be fine.
I would never step on Lisa May's traffic feet.
See, that's why I love her.
I watched you with Dave Grohl and hysterical.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Those guys are awesome. That's
all right, nice. Let's get to a little showbiz news, shall we? I am tragically disappointed. My fantasies are shattered. It turns out that Jennifer Lawrence did not rip her dress on the SAG Awards on Sunday night when she was accepting her Best Actress prize.
It fell in half, didn't it?
And she was lifting it up, and there was just, you could see thigh and stuff. Like it was torn. No, apparently that's the way the dress was made.
Oh, BS.
It's a Dior gown. Apparently it has a sheer panel underneath, like it's layered.
Yeah.
It's like a sheer panel that connects the next panel to the next panel. She's like the human centipede in a dress, basically. And so while she was lifting up one part of it, we did see her legs, but it was through a sheer panel that was holding the whole thing together.
Please.
So they said, everyone, stop.
There was a meeting someplace where they said,
yeah, let's just say we meant that.
Apparently, that's the real deal.
Kevin, they've actually trotted out the dress, other copies of the dress, to show people how it's put together. So
it's like
thank God.
It is for real.
They've broken it down, and they've got pie charts and graphs, and back and to the left, there's 8mm footage they shot of it, and it's been scientifically proven, Kevin.
This
is horrible news for all of us. Kris Jenner is getting her own talk show.
That
isn't good for you.
Everyone in the world promise not to watch it.
Yes.
You have to.
We should have people sign pledges like they do with those Republicans who say they won't, raise taxes.
Yeah,
we should have everyone.
Get Grover Norquist on this.
Everyone should have to sign some sort of agreement saying they will not watch this show.
If you want to stay in America.
Allie, do you ever encounter any of the Kardashian clans in the course of your duties over there on Channel 5?
I have not. They have been on the show. I don't support it.
Okay, good.
I don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think it's the downfall of civilization.
Yep.
And I'm not pleased.
Okay.
I watch real show like Joe Schmo.
Yeah.
Okay. The full bounty tonight on Spot.
Such a check I'm going to have to write. And good news, they're making another amazing Spider-Man movie. Apparently, the new villain has been cast. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but it looks like Paul Giamatti will be the new bad guy in the next Amazing Spider-Man movie. He will be playing a superhero bad guy named the Rhino.
For those he's
who,
a dick.
Who re- no, come on.
The Rhino.
The Rhino, one of Spider-Man's enemies, the Rhino. Who's a big guy in a rhinoceros suit who knocks things over.
I'm listening.
Yeah, see?
Of course you are.
Come on.
Rhinoceros suit?
Anderson, it's not that funny.
It's silly beyond words.
It's not Anderson. The Rhino is a very serious villain, Anderson. I don't appreciate...
I'm with Anderson.
All right, that's not... Come on. Straighten up.
He's not pleased with straighten this casting news.
Anderson. Damn that Cooper.
Bad idea.
Yeah, Allie should love that character because she's always in wacky animal suits in the morning, so this is like a rhino suit.
Should we address this right now? Allie McKay is a furry.
I am not a furry.
She's a furry. You watch her on Channel 5. Two out of three stories involve either her.
This is the only time I've seen her doing the morning show where you're not dressed up in some sort of clown suit.
Either she's in a costume or whoever she's talking to is in some kind of animal costume two out of three times.
Listen, I happen to be driving home one day listening to Kevin and Bean talking about how Allie McKay from KTLA is a furry.
Yes. Right.
It upset me.
I didn't say it behind your back, though. I'm saying
no,
it to
you
your face.
No, you said it on the radio and in front of my face. It upset me because I am.
You got a little thing.
And I had just found out that day I couldn't go to the convention, so it hit home on a lot of levels.
But I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
It's okay.
It was insensitive of me.
I should have told you, but yeah. So I like furry things.
Well, you'll enjoy the Rhino then coming to a theater near you. And lastly, Jake Gyllenhaal wasn't always a superstar movie actor. He wasn't always a leading man. He had gigs, like we all do, have to make the ends meet before the show business fairy comes and sprinkles dust on us.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Okay.
One of his jobs was a lifeguard. He tells the New York Post that he was a lifeguard in Martha's Vineyard, and he had to save a couple lives, and he said the most difficult experience he ever had as a lifeguard was the time one of the victims got stung by a jellyfish.
Uh-oh.
You know what the solution is for a jellyfish thing?
You gotta pee
on
them.
It's pee, right?
Yeah, he had to pee on the person because of their jellyfish thing.
That wasn't during his shift.
That's right. That was at an after party.
Yeah.
But imagine that story that person has forever. They go to end of watch. You see that guy over there?
Peed on me. Is that good? Is that something you share with everyone?
He'll have that forever. He'll have, me and Jake. Yeah, we go way back.
When he got stung,
peed on me.
When he got stung, did he say,
"I need somebody to pee on me"? Does anybody have to pee? That's what the guy said. And that man was Bean Bats.
I like warm pee.
Now you know the end of the story. Today's celebrity birthday is Tom Selleck is 68. It's a good looking 68 right there. Mm-hmm. He's well put together, that Tom Selleck. You know, I'm no Mo, but I'd do Tom Selleck in a heartbeat.
You would?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Just the stash. I would just do his stash.
That's it?
Yeah, I'd hump his stash. Oprah Winfrey's 59. Nick DeTuro from NYPD Blue is 51. Heather Graham is 43 years old today. That's not a bad deal either.
No.
Ed Burns from Saving Private Ryan those other movies. You like him?
Oh, I think I'm thinking of Edward.
You think Edward Norton?
No.
Yeah, Edward Burns.
Yeah. He does the Four Brothers movie.
Yeah, yep.
Oh,
McCullers.
Yes, yeah. I love him.
45. And Adam Lambert from American Idol. He's 31 years old today.
Is that your impression of
Adam Lambert? Impression, yeah.
Nailed it.
Hit that note.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk to showbiz.
Ship will carry our bodies safe to shore.
Yep, that's over. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
K-Rock's World Tour 2013 destination number 4 is Mumford and Sons in Amsterdam, which is like in Holland, if I recall correctly.
That's
you
right.
Can listen at 9:10 this morning. That's 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then again throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10 for your chance to win the latest Mumford album called Babel and get on the standby boarding list. Details at krock.com. All right, we're going to talk about being left at the altar here. We're going to be taking your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. A lot of left at the altar stories lately, including, by the way, Hugh Hefner, who is now married to Crystal Harris with their 60-year age difference. He's 86, she's 26. You remember that she left him at the altar,
yep.
I think 3 or 4 days before they were supposed to get married last year.
Yes.
she called off the wedding.
Now, in a perfect world, we would get calls from people who were standing up in front of the church or wherever.
That's best case. That's best
that's
case scenario.
That's best case scenario. We're not that
that's,
hopeful.
That's but. Maximum impact on being left. I mean, that's literally being left at the altar when you are standing there waiting for the other person to walk down the church corridor. That's that, that's as close as you can get to being married and not married.
And the embarrassment of the person that's there and all the people are there and somebody has to say, everybody go home. I mean, that's just got to suck. But,
oh, yeah.
But we'll take calls as close to that day, as close to that moment as we can find it. 1-800-520-1067.
Did a little bit of research. I had forgotten how close they were to getting married, but Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez were scheduled to be married on September the 14th, 2003. Ben had proposed to J-Lo with a $1.2 million 6.1-carat pink diamond ring. They postponed the wedding just days before they were set to walk down the aisle, and it was never rescheduled.
Really?
So at least nobody went to the church. And Lisa, you'll remember this one. In 1991, Julia Roberts and Kiefer Sutherland's Hollywood wedding was set to take place at 20th Century Fox's Soundstage 14, but it never happened. Roberts shocked the world when she broke up with Sutherland just 3 days before the ceremony. And by the way, this is awesome. Not only did she call off the wedding 3 days before she was supposed to marry Kiefer Sutherland, but she ran away with his best friend, actor Jason Patrick.
I do remember that.
Wow. Harsh.
And nobody hates her for it.
Isn't that interesting? She's still America's sweetheart, yes. Even though she did that to poor Kiefer, right?
Yes.
He's out there trying to save the world with 24. This is how she treats him. Come on.
And her current husband was married when she met him.
Yes, yes.
Oh, true.
So this is 3 days before the wedding. And by the way, like, it's not already embarrassing enough to be have the wedding called off within a few days of the actual ceremony. To actually have the person break up with you, A, and B, run off with your best friend.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's as bad as it gets, right?
I hope.
Yes, you hope. All right, so 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for the people who were the closest to walking down the aisle. You were almost married, and it got called off that day, the day before, the week before. How close did you get?
Let's be honest. You have to buy and put deposits down and all that kind of stuff months ahead of time.
It's months of work. Yeah.
So if you cancel the week of or even a couple of weeks, I mean, every penny pretty much has been spent. Everybody has, you know, gotten a hotel if they need to come to your wedding, that whole kind of thing.
I think that's why a lot of people just go through with it.
I 100% agree, Lisa. I absolutely agree that there are people who get that sick feeling in their stomach in the weeks and then days leading up to the wedding, and they think, I'm not going to do this, I shouldn't do this, I can't do this. But then they think, what's the alternative? Is standing up and saying to all those people, hey, sorry for screwing you up in your schedule and embarrassing you and all of your relatives and all the questions that have to be answered. I think for
some
people,
but I've got a date. I'll see y'all.
I think for some people, it's just easier to go through with it, even though they know it's a mistake. They just feel like they're too far gone at this point.
Yeah.
I just got to get in. All right. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I also was thinking about this because it has been the plot line of two major television shows in the last couple of weeks.
Downton Abbey.
I was going to say, in the interest of spoiler alerts, because these days.
Not this week.
No, it was a couple of weeks ago. It happened on Nashville, and I won't go into any kind of a detail if you're not completely caught up on that. But it also recently happened on the Downton Abbey show. And this is exactly the scenario that you're hoping for, Kevin. This is the bride is standing there with her father at the front of the church.
Oh.
You know, basically waiting for the ceremony to begin. And the groom is there. But they don't get very far into the ceremony before he announces that there's no way he can go through with the wedding. And he almost instantly gets into an argument with the bride's father,
of course,
who basically tries to talk at me into, hey, don't leave my daughter at the aisle. Please reconsider. And here's how that went on Downton Abbey.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered.
I don't do this.
There's my favorite part.
Did he say don't do this or I can't?
I can't do this.
So the minister says, dearly beloved, he just jumps. I can't do this. Like, how about he heads up before the ceremony starts, right?
I don't know. Two words earlier.
Right.
We are gathered.
I can't do this. What? I can't do it. You know it's wrong. You told me so yourself several times.
My dear chap.
No. I never should have let it get this far. I should have stopped it long ago. I tried to stop it.
What are you saying? I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, because Edith is not very happy about being left at the altar.
Of course.
I don't understand
these strange words coming out of your mouth.
I'm here and I'm in a wedding dress. How is it possible that I'm not getting married? Today was my big day. It's the first time anything good has ever happened to me.
Yeah. So sad.
That's right at the altar, but we'll take a break and come back with your phone calls. Let's see how close we can get to walking down the aisle, but it didn't happen. Tell us why. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up next on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Model actress Brooklyn Decker joins us coming up next year on The Kevin and Bean Show. She's going to be a New Girl, don't you know? Great choice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Love that. Right now, though, we're talking about being left at the altar. I can't imagine there's much worse than that romantically. I mean, it's one thing to be broken up with. It's another thing to be broken up with when you're standing there waiting for the service to begin. You've got a lot of plans, people in from out of town. It's got to hurt, right? 1-800-520-1067. We're taking your calls. Let's start with Leah. She is going to join us up first here. She is on line one. Leah, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. What happened?
Hi, my cousin, I think this past summer, she... finally announced that she's getting married, and we didn't know the guy, but we were really happy for her because she's like, you know, 28 now, so we're like, okay, great, you know, wedding, time to get settled down. We booked the flights, all seven of us, me, my siblings, my parents, my grandparents.
From where? From where to where?
From L.A. to Hartford, Connecticut.
All right, Connecticut.
Wow, long way, okay.
Yeah, and the day, I think it was the day before our flight, her parents call and they're like, we need to speak to your parents. I'm like, okay. Get my dad on the phone and he's like, okay, guys, the wedding's off. I'm like, wait, what? We've been planning this thing. We've been hearing news about this for like months, you know. People are getting excited and everything.
Oh, that's the other thing is the amount of chatter and email and phone calls. Right.
Exactly.
It's just crazy through the roof.
Exactly. So we're you know, looking around, scratching our heads like, well, we have all these outfits planned and, you know, people have been talking about what are we going to do now? So what happened was basically, I don't remember the exact amount of people, but it was quite a lot of people because they're like a popular group, I should say.
Right.
So they had a lot of people coming, and in the end, the parents, they canceled the wedding. They said, most of the family, they said, you know, you don't have to come if you don't want to. But my cousin apparently was really feeling really bad about having, you know, canceled on everybody, and she was really depressed anyway because, you know, right, being left at the altar.
Yeah.
So,
understandable.
Her mom's like, okay, we are planning, we're just going to plan, like, a dance party. Like, we've rented the hall, we've got the, you know, catering down, we're just going to have her close friends and family come, and we're just going to let her have a blast.
So this is really more of a please, cousin, don't kill yourself party.
Okay. Look, there's cake.
hey, here's a shiny object and some dance music. Leah, if you know, what happened to cause the wedding to be called off so close to the date? I mean, the man just got cold feet?
Personally, I was really surprised that she had decided so quickly, like to get married, because she's like one of those, you know, like really high power, you know, high, like really ambitious girl.
Right.
I was like, okay, why is she settling down so quickly? And we had not heard of this guy, you know.
Oh, like, so this was not an extended relationship. She just met him, and she seemed like she was a go-getter and a driven woman, and it's all about career.
So I was so surprised when we got the call that she, you know, that she's engaged. I was like, oh, okay, good for you, I guess. You know, so I think it was like she finally... I think she's doing it to please her parents mostly.
But so, I think it helps that she called it off, though. Wouldn't it have been so much worse for her if she was all excited about this wedding coming up and then her fiancé had pulled the plug?
Yeah, it was them. I think they, like, both of them, they were like, disagreeing, you know. They were just having fights about, like, in-laws and like, just planning the wedding and stuff like that. It was a really tense few weeks, as like from what I've heard is, like, it was a really few tense weeks before the wedding, and then, you know, like a couple of days before it just all came to a head.
How was the don't kill yourself party?
I enjoyed it. There were a lot of people, and it was fun. Like, she seemed to enjoy herself, which was nice.
All right, so mission accomplished.
According to my mom, like, the rest of the days that we were there for like a week, I think, because the celebration was supposed to be for
a few days. That's a lot of money. What an event.
I know, right?
Wow. That's awesome.
But according to my mom, the rest of the few days, like, she would pull her out of her room and she'd be like crying and stuff. So I'm really glad that she at least got to have a little bit of fun, you know.
Your mom would pull her out of the room.
Cake makes everything better.
Cake is the answer. That's what we found out today. All right. Thank you for the call, Lee. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Bye now.
We're going to be talking to actress Brooklyn Decker about her appearance on The New Girl coming up here in just a minute. Real quick, before we go to the phones, you're going to love this so much, Kevin. As you know, the Super Bowl is Sunday.
What? And
was this in the news? And if you're a crazy fan of a team and you support them all the time at home, like this woman Sharon in San Francisco, who loves her 49ers, is a season ticket holder. When your team does go to the Super Bowl for the first time in a long time, you want to be there, right?
Of course.
Super Bowl tickets are not easy to come by. So where did she go? Well, Craigslist, of course. She found four seats for $5,900. Which is more than double face value, by the way.
Right.
But she decided it's the 49ers. I love them so much. I don't know when they're ever going to be in the Super Bowl again. So she bought the tickets for $5,900. She wired the money to a man in Florida who said that he had a very pregnant wife. She's 8 months pregnant, which is why they couldn't go to the game. But they'd be willing to sell the Super Bowl tickets. He's a Ravens ticket holder.
Oh, no.
So she buys the tickets for him for $5,900, and they exchange all of their information. And lo and behold, this week, the FedEx envelope with the tickets in it arrives. But instead, when she opens up the envelope, there's a picture of Joe Flacco, the quarterback for the Ravens, and a note that says, "Go Ravens."
Yay!
And no Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Now, she talked to this dude on the phone several times throughout the week and, you know, has a return address on it. But who knows? I don't know about the investigation. Who knows whether that return address is going to turn out to be valid, if that's going to turn out to even be the guy's real name.
If it's valid, he's the biggest idiot in the world.
Yeah, he is. But why would you advertise a scam like this on Craigslist knowing it's a scam, knowing you're not going to give the tickets up and then make yourself traceable? It seems like you wouldn't. It seems like this $5,900 is gone, 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 right?
Most of Craigslist is, I'd say 99% is reliable. Right? Who's with me?
Have you ever put anything up on Craigslist?
God, no.
And by the way, at the bottom of everything like this that involves ticket sales, it always says do not wire money. I mean, Craigslist knows that people are using this as an opportunity to scam, so they do put the warning right there on the site. Do not wire money. And it was right at the bottom of his. But look, she's a diehard season ticket holder for the 49ers. All she wanted to do is go see her team in the Super Bowl.
$6,000 and no tickets.
Yes, yes. That has got to sting, right?
Wow.
So good times. All right, do we have Miss Decker?
We do.
Fantastic. Brooklyn Decker, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Hey, thank you, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good to talk to you. I understand that you are a huge fan of The New Girl, yet you didn't try out for this. They called you and said, hey, do you want to be on it? How does that happen?
Yes, it happens because I'm the luckiest person in the world, and I'm a huge New Girl fan, and I got a call from Liz Merriweather, the creator, probably a week before I went on the show, and she's like, we have this role, she's this crazy girl, do you want to come on and play her? And I said yes in an instant. So,
now what's crazy about the character that you play?
She gets turned on by extreme sadness. So if a guy comes up to her and tells her a sob story, like a brokenhearted sob story, she gets very turned on, which is very twisted in my opinion, but really fun to play.
Wow. I bet it is.
I'll bet there are real people like that, though. Maybe it plays
on
their I want to take care of you because you're so down kind of a thing.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, you know, it's funny. I was talking to them and I'm like, this has to be based on a real person,
right?
Because to actually think of something so messed up, it has to be inspired by somebody real. So I didn't really get a straight answer out of them, but I imagine inspired by somebody.
Would you mind going back and getting an answer from them? And then
I should call this person on the show. Yeah.
So your character is out at night in a bar, and Nick and Schmidt are both there, and they both are hitting on you, and you have to decide who's the saddest one.
That's exactly what happens.
And they're both lying, most likely, right? They're both exaggerating or lying.
Oh yeah, there are fake tears. There are stories about like weird moles that that traumatize the children. It's very, very strange. And with these two guys, with these actors, I mean, they're so funny. They love the improv. So it just got weirder as the night went on. We were filming. So it turns, I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I hope it turns out to be funny and bizarre and just a really fun episode.
We are totally right there with you. The New Girl is one of those shows that the first night it was on, it became one of my favorite shows on television. It's not like a show that had growing pains. It just came out of the gate just great. And it's because of that ensemble cast. I mean, you know, you talk about Nick and Schmidt. Both of those actors are so great. You get the feeling that either one of them could carry their own show, yet they're part of an amazing ensemble cast.
Exactly. I completely agree. And it's funny because I read this interview with Zooey Deschanel, and she said, she's like, had this story been made into a movie, she said, I don't think any of us would have been cast. They would have cast, like, huge Hollywood stars. And the fact that they cast these guys who are not unknown, but relatively new,
sure,
sort of the public eye, she's like, we got this incredible cast of characters, and it just works so well, and you see that when you watch it. So
we've mentioned many times that we love that show, and no one has ever called and offered us a role.
That's a good point, Kevin. Thank
right?
you.
Right?
Maybe I can make a call for you.
All right. I want to ask you about one more thing, because as a huge fan of the show, you must have been so excited to find out that you got to play the drinking game on the show in the loft called True American, which is one of the strangest things for folks who don't watch New Girl. Tell people how True American works, if you can.
I mean, it's basically a drinking game with no rules, no rhyme, no reason. And you, essentially what you're doing is you're going back to like your elementary school brain and shouting out as many sort of bills and presidents and laws that you can remember. And it's chaos. You're running around the living room, throwing pots at each other, wearing masks, wearing hats, drinking. And there are no rules to True American, but apparently the fans of the show have found some like strange sort of structure there and have created a drinking game based on True American.
Oh,
so we have
so
to
funny.
Run this.
And is it true that this version of True American that you're on tonight, is there's some sort of a stripping component to it for at least some of the characters?
Yes, it is. It is strip True American tonight, so it's kind of saucy.
Well, what a
and
surprise.
I think you will not be disappointed.
What a surprise. You hear the people in the writer's room.
Let's see, Brooklyn Decker, what should we do?
Gotta get her to take her clothes off somehow.
Yeah. When they film the show, are you in front of a live audience, Brooklyn?
No, we're not. It's multicam, which means basically you're on a soundstage with a bunch of cameras filming the show. So
okay,
not
so
a live audience.
So there probably is a bunch of takes and a bunch of improv, and they just kind of put it all together. Because the reason I'm asking is because a game like True American, where you guys literally are jumping up and down on furniture and throwing things and everything, it would be so difficult to orchestrate something like that to do it one time all the way through.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's why the show is so good, is because these actors can improv and throw crazy lines out there, and some of it makes it and some of it doesn't. But if it was all scripted in front of a stage, I don't think they'd be able to have that freedom. So it definitely allows them to be crazier, and especially a game like True American can be incredibly over the top.
I think I would like to see the outtakes of True American.
I would too, actually. I can imagine they'd get some of us in trouble.
All right, so Brooklyn, you have two jobs. One is you have to get us on the show, and two is you have to get us the deleted scenes from True American.
No pressure.
Okay. All right. Good.
Okay. Good. Is this a one time appearance for you tonight, or might you be back? Do you strike up a relationship with either of the guys on the show?
It is a one-time appearance for now, but we think that we can bring Holly back, which is my character. We think she can come back, but I think she would have to come back brokenhearted and devastated. I mean,
oh, yeah, sure. She'd have to be the sad one.
Hopefully. Exactly. Hopefully she'll come back.
Well, like, it's not enough that you're already going to be on my TV, and that's must-see TV. We do love New Girl, and we're very excited that it's going to be on again tonight with an all-new episode tonight at 9 on Fox. Great to catch up with you, Brooklyn. We always like having you on. Thank you,
guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How about a brand new round of Beer Mug red carpet interviews?
Yeah!
How about that? How about Beer Mug talking to the cast and director of Hansel and Gretel, America's number one film, coming up in the next half hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
This is, according to Beer Mug, his best work.
He's getting much, much better. Yeah, this is the new Beer Mug.
Because usually Beer Mug has disappointed us.
No.
He's left us weeping. But this time
is Beer Mug 2.0.
Yeah. Okay, very excited. Beer Mug 2013 coming up in the next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
The critics have said Beer Mug is reminiscent of a young Morley Safer.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what they're saying now. So I'm very excited to hear the new work. Let's talk about new stuff, because it is Tuesday. That's when the new CDs and DVDs come out.
Yay!
The kids don't even know what's out yet.
Yeah. They're just excited that it's Tuesday.
Kids don't even know what a CD is, so tell them all to shut up.
They suspect there's new Bieber music, so they're already excited.
They're right, it is new Bieber music. Believe Acoustic. It's the Believe album, but now he's rocking it acoustic style.
So it's not a new album. It's a new album of old songs.
It's a remix.
Remake.
Of his Believe album.
Yeah. All right.
And it'll sell tons.
Bean. And a couple of new songs, too.
Oh, Bean is so already ordered this. He's pre-ordered it. It's going to come today in the mail from Amazon.
I hope you choke on it.
I do, too.
No?
Because you know he's going to lick the CD when it shows up.
He's certainly not denying it. I know that.
And the cover art.
No?
Heartthrob, new CD by Tegan and Sarah. I'm a huge Tegan fan. Sarah, I'm not quite sold on. I prefer Tegan's solo work. Once he or she teamed up with Sarah, that's when the project started to go south for me. But I'm willing to give them another chance.
All right, that's nice.
Heartthrob by Tegan and Sarah today. I'm Sorry by The Neighborhood.
Excuse me?
The Neighborhood.
Not familiar with The Neighborhood. I'm sorry.
Not either. There's a U in the middle of Neighborhood, though, so I'm assuming they're British. You know those Brits, they throw in extra U's every opportunity they get.
You want to hear a little of their music? Neighborhood?
Sure, I'd love to.
There you go.
Balls, 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 balls.
But wouldn't you buy it if it was?
That sounds strangely familiar to me. That doesn't sound like The Neighborhood at all. Hummingbird by Local Natives. And No Fairy Tale by Lisa Loeb. Lisa Loeb still in the studio cranking out the hits. Yep. You say, stay.
Is that her?
No one ever said that to her, though.
So she had a hit in the 90s. How are you surprised she's still alive? This isn't a World War II singer, Kevin.
I don't know who any of those people are.
DVDs? You want to see Hotel Transylvania? The kids' what, comedy.
Which
animated,
one was that?
I had made a kid comedy about the hotel full of monsters like the Wolfman and Mummy and Dracula.
Oh.
And Frankenstein.
And then the kid shows up.
The kid shows up, played by Andy Samberg, who falls in love with Dracula's daughter.
I think I'll pass on that.
Now, don't be scared because Adam Sandler and Kevin James and all their cronies are the voices of the show because they had nothing to do with the writing or the directing of it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so it actually came out pretty well. Seven Psychopaths. If you didn't see this movie, you got to. It's very entertaining.
And I know I'm going to love it.
Very entertaining film. Colin Farrell, Woody Harrelson, Sam Rockwell. Great cast. Christopher Walken's in it. A great, great cast and a very fun film.
I saw that. That is funny. You'll like it, Kevin.
And then Paranormal Activity 4. If you've seen the first three Paranormal Activities, that's all I have to say.
4 was good.
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
What?
No. It was the same goddamn movie.
It was pretty much, but
yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. So if you've seen the first three, really don't need to see 4. That's what I'm guessing.
I would have skipped 2 and maybe 3, but 4 was pretty good.
Sure. Well, you know how it is. Odd, even odd. That's what they say. Ryan Gosling's better than you.
And?
Just letting you know.
Yeah.
He was eating dinner, and apparently a very attractive blue-eyed young lady came up to him and approached him for an autograph. He politely asked her if she could wait until he was finished his meal. She walked back to her table dejected, thinking that she got blown off by Ryan Gosling. However, when he finished his dinner, he walked over to the table, sat down, started talking to her, and asked her if she'd like to take a picture as well as get an autograph.
But wasn't she still eating her meal?
And she said, hypocrite.
Ryan, I'm in the middle of dinner.
That would have been the
you
best.
Please come back.
That would have been the ballsiest move ever.
Yep.
It's like that old Don Rickles story. Yes.
That is great.
For those of you who have never heard Don Rickles early in his career, when he first started to make it show business, went up to Sinatra, who had just known him just very briefly, very sort of surface relationship they had. He said, look, Frank, my mom's in town to see me open for you. And she, as you can imagine, is a huge Sinatra fan. So I'm at this table here with her and some friends of ours and some family. If when you're done here, I don't mean to interrupt, but when you're done here, if you could just come over to the table and just say a quick hi, it would mean the world to me and to my mom. And Sinatra says, okay, kid. So Rickles goes back to the table and Frank ends up finishing up whatever he's doing there and he crosses over and he says, hey, Don, how you doing? And Rickles turns to him and goes, Frank, can't you see I'm with people? Greatest showbiz story ever.
I think it is.
It really is.
And you're so right. The girl should have totally done that to Ryan Gosling.
So
come
funny.
On, don't interrupt me. I'm eating
I'm
here.
Trying to eat my meal.
He probably,
can you wait until I'm finished?
He probably would have laughed his ass
he
off.
He probably would have, yeah. That Gosling's a good kid.
Ryan Gosling.
Oh, it's a shame to take the stories from happy to sad, but I have to report this because America needs to know, and we need to start a campaign now to stamp this out before it becomes a national epidemic. Kris Jenner is getting her own talk show.
No!
Evil momager of the Kardashian clan has signed with Fox to do a daily one-hour talk show.
No! No!
Where she will talk about things she knows best, whoring out children. It's called the Child Whore Hour.
No, 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 no.
So you're saying
no
watch?
No.
You'll watch? You will watch.
No.
All right. No, no, 1,000 times no.
All right. Today's celebrity.
No.
Okay.
No.
Not planning on watching. Got it.
today?
No, no, no.
So you're not in, as I am.
No, 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 no. Oh, I wouldn't hear of it. Absolutely not.
Okay, gotcha.
No, no, today's, no.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
No. No.
Okay.
No.
Right.
No, 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 no.
Not
going to
watch.
No.
Not going to watch.
No.
Not for you.
No.
Chris Jenner, it's not for you.
N-O. No.
Not appealing to you.
No.
Okay. Adam Lambert.
No.
Adam
Lambert. Oh, God. No, 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 no.
Adam Lambert's 31 years old today.
No.
Heather Graham
no.
is 43.
No, 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 no.
Edward
no.
Burns.
Hell no.
45.
No. No. I refuse. No.
Oprah Winfrey no. is 59.
No way. Not ever.
And Tom Selleck celebrates his 68th birthday.
Come on, Ralph. Oh, God. No.
All right.
No, just no.
Okay.
Ralph.
No.
Ralph.
No.
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 No. No. Ralph. No. Okay. No. No.
I,
no.
I
no.
Not,
no.
Not a fan. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
No way. No way. Get real.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10 o'clock.
Me tweet anyway. Girl look good.
What's going on, Kevin, with your porn empire on the internet there? What's happening?
I have
happening?
No
look
idea what you're talking
pretty
about.
Pretty boobies, I'm me just... tweet go you now.
I'm just trying to keep people up to date on what's going on in the Kevin and Bean Show. That's
yeah.
all.
You
I see.
Keep tweeting other people's pictures of girls in underwear and bikinis.
You're missing the point, Rob.
I'm sorry, M. Night Shyamalan. Is there a subtext
it's
that I'm missing?
For you.
Oh, I'm just seeing that your work on the surface.
Correct.
Is what you're
yes.
saying.
In Kevin's defense here, Ralph, it was impossible to find pictures of pretty girls on the internet until he started on Twitter.
He is performing a public service. That's
he is.
True.
He is actually getting us some hot chicks on the internet. Thank God.
You're
finally,
welcome.
At
yes.
this point,
you're both welcome.
All right, 9:41. It's Tuesday. Ralph is here for our final look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, we know Kevin aspires to be another Bob Guccione. All he wants to do is get naked pictures of women and deliver them to the public. Well, here's your chance, Kevin. You may want to save up your pennies and start buying some of this stuff that this guy found named Jeremy Frommer. He bought up a series of storage spaces in Englewood, New Jersey, where Penthouse founder and publisher Bob Guccione stored a bunch of his stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah. So he went to the storage wars and came up with just boxes and boxes of fascinating things previously owned by Guccione.
All right.
Who, by the way, well, he was a publisher of Penthouse for 38 years. His son, of course, was also a publisher.
Mm-hmm.
Had Spin for a long time, right? He was worth, at one time, $400 million.
Oh, wow.
1982, he was on the list of the Forbes 400 wealthiest people alive. Then in 2003, Penthouse declared bankruptcy and he was almost penniless.
Oh, my gosh.
Then he passed away of cancer in 2010. But here's... Here's what they discovered, some fascinating stuff, including correspondence between him and the Unabomber.
What?
A woman claiming to be Fidel Castro's lover, and Dick Cheney.
Really?
Dick Cheney, the Unabomber, Castro's girlfriend. What do these things have in common? They all
That's
loved
weird.
Porn. Also, some files about then-Miss America Vanessa Williams about deciding whether to publish the nude photos of her. And I remember that was a big deal when they mm-hmm. showed those photos.
Yeah, she lost her crown over that, right?
She lost more than that from the looks of those pictures. She lost her
pants. That doesn't make any sense.
You know what I'm saying?
No, we don't. No, really. I really
lost,
don't.
I think she lost her pants.
I see.
And her razor.
proposed plans for a Penthouse hotel and casino were found there. Jewelry, cameras, journals, appointment books. But the interesting stuff is never before seen nude photos of Madonna.
Really?
Yeah. And, wait for it, the crown jewel of the collection, photos of a young Arnold Schwarzenegger apparently performing a sex act. Sex
on,
photos of Schwarzenegger.
On.
It doesn't give me any more details other than that.
We need more details. On a woman?
I don't
on
know.
On a man?
What
on himself?
Sort of sex act it is. I don't know who he's partnered up with, whether maybe he's solo.
I
it could be a
copyright.
Solo sex act. You don't
could
need
be.
A partner for a sex act.
Could be.
Just ask Fred Willard. Just telling you, something's up with Schwarzenegger and his Schwarzenegger.
This sounds like a lot of historically significant things found in that storage locker from Guccione.
Yes, but I want to see Schwarzenegger doing something dirty.
Ah, that's hot.
Yep.
So no word on what's going to happen with this stuff. The guy who has it is thinking about maybe doing some sort of exhibit, you know, maybe a touring exhibit of Guccione's legacy and showing some of the unearthed items. Maybe he'll sell it off. No word yet. But he hit a treasure trove of porn history right there in Englewood, New Jersey.
They always have known as being, you know, the muscular guy, the guy that won the Mr. Universe contest, the guy that won the most world championships in bodybuilding, the guy that was known for having the most muscular body. Oh, my God, did you see Schwarzenegger naked?
Ah. Yeah, I did. He fought in a sex act. With Jake Gyllenhaal.
I'm sorry?
Brokeback Gymnasium.
Their new movie.
Naked.
Jake Gyllenhaal wasn't always a leading man. He used to have odd jobs like any young actor trying to work his way
naked.
No, he was not naked. He was a lifeguard, however, in Martha's Vineyard. Most interesting story he said about that experience, he told the New York Post, was that one of his victims was stung by a jellyfish, and Jake Gyllenhaal had to give him nature's cure. For those of you who are familiar with jellyfish stings, they say the best thing you can do is to apply uric acid to the bite. Or
I think I learned that on Survivor. What, about season two, maybe?
Yeah, uric acid.
How do you think they figured that out the first time? Way back when it was...
Really hurts, it really hurts. What should we do? Let's splash water on it. Does not help it. Put sand on it. Not helping. Pee on him.
That's stupid.
Hey, that's good. That works. Good, because you don't want to know the next thing I was going to try.
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
Yeah. Bean was the first guy to find that out. And George Clooney's the man. He's just the man. He's just the man.
Yeah.
He's working in Germany right now doing a movie called The Monuments Men. He was eating dinner at a trendy restaurant in Berlin. When the guy sitting next to him went to pay his bill, he was told that Clooney had picked up the tab for him. Didn't talk to Clooney, no contact with him, nothing going on. The guy asked what was happening, and the waiter told him that Clooney was concerned that he and his friends were partying too loud and had disturbed the man's meal who was seated next to them. The guy said it wasn't true at all. They behaved in a very cultivated manner, and I was stunned. But Clooney, just to err on the side of caution, picked up the guy's tab in case they had been a little bit too loud and interrupted his
meal. If that's the case, I would have to buy people around me a meal every single time I go
Yes, you would. Because you'd just be showing pictures of girls in bikinis.
Hey, you look now, picture me have girls.
And they say, can you just tweet that instead of having to actually put it in my face?
My Twitter followers love it.
Yeah.
When the links work, they love it.
It's about 10% of the time.
Yeah. Cut and paste is a difficult task. Paramore is about to hit the road for their first tour of North America since 2010. Only 12 dates have been announced so far, kicking off on April 25th in Houston, wrapping up on May the 16th in New York City. But you can find all the dates on their website. Kitten will open all of the shows. Oh, Kitten.
They're good.
I don't know anything about Kitten.
Girl-fronted, kind of a little rockier than Paramore. Kind of
like
punky,
Josie and the Pussycats?
They're good. No.
Oh.
No.
I was excited there for a minute.
Mm-hmm. I love that Paramore. I love them every single time we have them in. I like them even more. They're just terrific people.
Good music. Nice people.
Yeah.
Wish them well. Hope the tour is good.
106.7 K-Rock.
What's happening?
Q. Hey, Rock. Rodney on the Rock.
What's up, Rock?
It's heard Paramore. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be at night number two of the KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
Not doing that right.
And I have a feeling that Paramore won't be doing acoustic, what you just heard, but they'll be rocking out.
Okay. Oh, they'll be rocking out.
Night number two.
All right.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
All right. Right.
Where's that CD, Rodney? Is that around? You
got anyway, here's something that I played earlier on the show.
Can you enjoy
CD? I hope you did. Yeah. It's this guy named...
Okay, the CDs, Rodney.
What's happening?
Rodney, CD, please.
I lost the CD.
Oh,
here it is.
Come on.
It's on the floor. How'd it get on the floor?
How'd it get there?
Anyway.
How could it have possibly gotten there?
Oh, I don't know. Just gravity? Just a guess.
I think Kevin pointed out earlier today that he's asking the listeners how the CD ended up on the floor who aren't in the studio with him.
Call in now if you know how the CD can get on the floor.
How that could happen.
1-800-520-1067. How do things get on the floor? All the lines are open. It's Godhead.
Why is he the best?
The CD was on the ceiling, I'd be surprised.
Right. Yeah. How did it get up there? Right.
That's a good question.
How did that happen? Not so much it's on the floor.
That'd be amazing.
It would be amazing if the CD was on the ceiling. Today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Lambert from American Idol is 31 years old today. Heather Graham from Boogie Nights and The Hangover, 43 years old. Edward Burns from Saving Private Ryan and the Brothers McMullen, 45 years old. Nicholas Turturro, NYPD Blue, is 51. He's also in Blue Bloods, by the way, if you watch that show.
Wow.
Speaking of Blue Bloods, Tom Selleck, 68 years old today. And talk show host Oprah Winfrey is 59.
Fat wins.
59.
Fat does win. I don't know if you've seen her.
Every time. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Ariane Celeste in the studio.
What?
We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
I like things.
Brand new Wheel of Bed Animal Voices. We have tickets for the Sound City premiere, which is Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. New Dave Grohl movie and performance. And we have a brand new internet roundup for you as well. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.